The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
On Exploring the Word, we go through the Bible, and we're going through the book of 1 John right now. If you have an opportunity to follow along as we're in chapter 2, starting with verse 15, we would enjoy you accompanying us as we make this journey. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our treat to be your co-host of this program. Alex, again, we've talked about 1 John, and 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 are, I would say, some Grand Canyon depth to it concerning sin and how it operates and what it wants to do in our lives. I think it is one of those passages that we need to look at a little bit deeper and longer than we do sometimes.
You know, I've only got one problem with 1 John. Are you ready?
I'm ready, brother.
It's going by too quickly. I'm loving this book. And yeah. This, you know, I've read this book many times, taught through it a number of times, but it is such a precious book. And you are right. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. There's a lot here in the whole chapter of chapter 2. But you're right. This is like carved in Mount Rushmore.
I agree.
For the Christian life.
It is. Let me read it, and then we'll go in and look at it. And I hope that you can listen. If you're listening today, you'll stay with us. And if you sometimes leave out a little quick, wait a little bit, unless you're in the north and you got to get out of the car quickly and go in. Don't you wait for that. It's mighty cold out there. But let me read this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I love the ending, brother. It gives you hope and gives you the opportunity to follow the Lord. I would say that's what good Bible study and good preaching always ends with, but the will of God abides forever. What a opportunity we have to follow the Lord and abide in him, Alex.
Well, indeed. And think about two contrasts. Being saved and passing away. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, to we who are being saved, the gospel might be foolishness to a lost world, but to us who are saved and are being saved, it is the power of God. Well, think about the world that is passing away, and in fact, really, it's already dead and gone. This world and all the world systems and the prince of this world have been judged. And so just monumentally, soberly, but inspiringly, 1 John 2, 15 through 17, as the King James says, love not the world. Yeah. And there have been songs, there have been books, because the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away. Bert, you know, it's been a joy to see the Grand Canyon. It's been a joy to see, you know, the Smithsonian and all the things in Washington. You and I both have traveled, and there's a lot in this world that is beautiful and inspiring. But do you know what? It's all going to be gone, isn't it?
It is. Passing away.
Why tether your boat to this world, people, when this world is a goner and the lust thereof? But he who does the will of God abides forever. Let's go back for just a little bit. Remember Jesus said, he who is not for me is against me. Well, 1 John 2:15 says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Bert, can the human heart be loyal to two diametrically opposite things?
The Bible makes it plain you cannot serve two masters. Now, in that case, whether we're talking about this, talking about mammon or money, but you cannot serve two masters, Alex.
Yeah. Do you know what C.S. Lewis said? And he just wrote very beautifully and artfully, but he said, if you're going to take the treasures of heaven, you must let go of the most intimate souvenirs of earth. And you know, in a way that's liberating. Because look, I've talked to people who, when they get older and they lose their career, or I knew a man, Bert, and he was an opera singer, but he got old and he couldn't sing anymore, and suddenly he got passed over for parts in productions, and he was just devastated. Because here's the thing, folks, whether it's your job or your money or your physical abilities or accomplishments, whatever, if you define yourself by something of this world, where are you when that's gone?
It is so true.
But if you define yourself in terms of Jesus and all the riches you've got as a born-again believer, your home in heaven, I mean, those things that are eternal can never be taken away. I mean, that's why we can have peace of mind, because we define ourselves by those things that really, really will last.
Amen. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time in chapter 16, because it describes, I believe, Alex, you may disagree, that you could put every sin in one of these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. In other words, every sin that we're tempted with, every temptation will be in one of those categories. Jesus, when after he was baptized and led into the wilderness, do you remember the three temptations? One, turning the stones into bread. Secondly, the temptation was to go to the pinnacle and jump off and let the angels have charge over you. The third one was bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Now, what you do with that, the lust of the flesh is demonstrated in turning the stones into bread. That temptation, that was the flesh. He was hungry. It was the desire to fulfill that. The lust of the eyes is in the third temptation, when he showed him all the things in the kingdoms of the world. Look what you can have. Look what you can take place. And then, finally, the pride of life is demonstrated in the area of jumping off the pinnacle. Jump off this pinnacle, and I'm telling you what, that you'll get a crowd and you'll be lifted up with pride. So when you look at verse 16 and you see the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those are the categories of sins that come against us, and I would say, yes, daily. And Satan, notice, it is not of the world, it is not of the Father, but of the world. So Satan uses these of the world, these temptations of the world, to come against us in our own desire to try to override the will of God in our lives. I would declare, Alex, it is a daily battle, but we're more than conquerors and we are overcomers. We can win that daily battle. We can't say without sin, but we can win battles, and we need to get in there. This life is not a luxury liner. It's a battleship, isn't it?
Well, it is. It really is. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned think about these, friend, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You compared them to Jesus's 40-day temptation in the wilderness, and that's true. Have you ever heard anybody compare these three categories to what Adam and Eve went through in Genesis 3?
Every one of those. Yes, it is.
Yeah, Eve saw that the tree was good for food. That's appealing to a physical desire. Pleasant to the eyes, something pretty to look at, a trinket. And then desirable to make one wise, although it really wasn't wisdom, it was the lies of the serpent. But that's the pride of life. And so let me tell you, friends, G.K. Chesterton, he said this: there's 10,000 ways to fall down. There's one way to stand. And there's innumerable ways to go to hell. There's one way to go to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Word of God loves us. God loves us, and through His Word, He tells us these warnings. I mean, if this sounds really narrow and just very strict and rigid, it's because it is. I mean, the way to go to heaven is a narrow way, and it's Jesus and Jesus only. And he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, we're going to get into 1 John 4 and 5. What is the will of God? To believe in Jesus Christ. This is His commandment. Now, let's go on here and talk a little bit about 18 through 22 well, and 24.
Let me say one thing, and I don't want to chase a rabbit. Notice where this is located. Right after he gets through talking to little children in verses 12, 13, the fathers and the young men, and then in verse 18, it is introduced by little children. So right in the midst of these relationships, he gives this warning. So it's personal. That's what I want to say. Alex, go ahead. I thought it was unique that it was located right there between all those relationships that John was claiming that are saying that he had with the people he was writing.
Well, exactly. And let me say, he goes into some really, really hard truth, some tough-as-nails reality about the last days and the false teachers and the deceptions that are going to come about. But let me just say this, folks, from the resurrection of Christ and then Pentecost, Peter preached at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was sent, to this very present day, 2019, we are in an epoch of history called the Church Age. From Pentecost to the rapture is this window of time, and it's a long one, 2,000 years, but it is the Church Age that, we're to go into all the world and make disciples, take the name of Jesus to the very ends of the earth. And in a way, Bert, now you feel free to disagree, but the Church Age from Pentecost to now, in a way, could be called the last days.
I wrote it down, Alex. You won't believe. While you were saying church age, I wrote the words last days down because ever since Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, we've been living in what some would call the last days. Now, I thought of this. See what you think about this. I believe we're living in the last of the last days. You catch,
goodness. Yeah. I was just going to say this. Now, folks, you got to understand that we don't talk about this much before the show, and the fact that we're really on the same track is, I think, the Holy Spirit. Bert, I was just going to say, these are the last of the last days. Very likely. And he says, little children, it is the last hour or the last days. Now, listen very carefully. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even so now many Antichrists have come, for which we know that these are the last days or the last hour. Now, let's talk about the Antichrist for a minute, because as I understand the Bible, there is going to be a full, completely demonic, evil person. He's going to be a man of political power, economic, and religious power. He is going to be the Antichrist. But John is saying here that the mindset of Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, many introductory Antichrists have come and will come out into the world. And we're going to, in just a minute, see what one of the key traits of an Antichrist is.
Alex, this is so real that, people have tried to say, and I'm using Hitler was the Antichrist. I remember them talking about Gorbachev being the Atlantic. I believe with all my heart, like Hitler was one of the Antichrist, one of those that we're talking about here in verse 18, not the, but one of the many that's come into the world. And so they've come into the world, and what they've done is to draw aside people into the broad way. You were talking about the narrow way and the broad way. The Antichrist wants to lead people, the Antichrist, many of them, into the broad way, don't it?
He does. Folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network. We're going to continue in 1 John 2 after the break. Stay tuned.
A call to action from American Family Radio.
There's all kind of difficulty in the world, but as the Word of God says, if your brother's in need and you have it within your ability to respond to their need, how can you claim to have love if you allow them to go without? What greater need is there than the need to live? I know life is rough, but it don't have nothing to do with the baby. Don't kill the baby. Don't wait for pre-born campaigns. Don't wait for legislation to be passed in your state legislature. Don't wait till Roe versus Wade is overturned. Respond now. I believe with everything in me that we can end this scourge regardless of what they do in the halls of Congress and the halls of the state legislature. every single family, every single church, go to the local abortion clinics. Let them know that you have people in your churches, people in your family that are willing to take the babies home. They have families that have been dying to take a child home. Don't kill the babies.
Visit AFR.net.
Dr. Tony Evans says God sends challenges our way to test our growth. So what happens when we fail? We'll find out today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You know the one thing I loved in school about retest? That means the teacher was giving me another chance. That gave me hope that my failure on the previous test didn't have to define what happened to me in that grade. It does not change my previous grade, but it gives me hope for a better tomorrow because it's a retest. If you are in an irreversible situation, you ask God for a retest. Lord, give me another opportunity to take the exam again. You can't take a third of the exam. You can't take a half of the exam. You must finish the full completion of the exam. It's like you telling your child, clean the room. They clean half the room and wonder why you're not congratulating them for the half they cleaned. Because they did a part of it. They didn't do all of it. And until they do all of it, they don't get recognition for any of it. We do part of the retest and think God ought to be congratulating us, not that you complete the exam of all God has asked you to do. It's a retest. So if you just gonna stay still, stay where you are, and accept things as they are, you will never discover what God may have already set up for you for a retest, a new opportunity.
Learn about what it's like to experience God's unconditional forgiveness. Visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link in the top menu that says Jesus. You'll find some helpful videos from Tony and free downloadable resources to get you started. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
You know, the disciples lived in constant expectation of Christ's return. And if they knew Christ could come at any minute, and it was already the last days, I mean, how much closer are we to the time that eastern sky splits and Christ returns? Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. So honored to have all of you listening. We're going to get to Bible questions in a moment. And right now we're in 1 John chapter 2. And Bert, isn't it a blessing to think of the people that are willing to tune in the afternoon and listen to the show?
Oh, listen, we get to meet them. You go on the road, and I do from time to time, and we'll see people, and they will share how much they enjoy it. Many of them are riding home from work, riding home from school. Some of them are at home listening on the radio. There's just so many of them, and some of them listen early in the morning. Because we rebroadcast, and so it is a joy. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you'll grow in the Lord. It's not that Alex and I, yes, we want to do that, but our purpose is that you might grow in the Lord, and that you might even do what Timothy said that Paul told him to do, to convey to others that they might grow in the Lord. So you don't want to be a sponge and take it in, do you, Alex? You want to be one that flows
a channel
through,
and a spread channel. That truth.
Amen.
Well, exactly. And let me say here in 1 John 2:18, we see the word Antichrist. And I'm going to read this passage up through 23, and we're going to comment a little bit. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now listen to this, verse 22. Who is a liar? but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Okay, so one of the litmus tests for the spirit of Antichrist, now there is going to be an Antichrist, but the spirit, the mindset of Antichrist, one of the litmus tests, verse 22, is to deny that Jesus is the Son of God, who is a liar, but he who denies Jesus is the Christ. Bert, I'm just going to break this down. I want you to respond. You know, it would be rare for somebody, a professor or some speaker, to stand up and just outright, viciously deny or denigrate Jesus. But I would submit to you that the person who says, well, I respect Jesus as a wise teacher, but, you know, he's not the one and only way to heaven. You know, he was a famous person, influential leader, but I can't say he was the one and only risen Savior. They try to give a little sideways compliment to Jesus, but not fully recognize his divinity and his exclusivity. Bert, I would say to deny what Jesus taught about himself, that is the mindset of the Antichrist too.
I would agree. Are there degrees to that? Yes, there is. Those that are outright and those that try to make him sound good, you know, he's all right, but if it's that mentality that you're hearing somebody that's the spirit of Antichrist, because Jesus is the Christ. That means he is the anointed one, Messiah that was come into the world. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, none other. And he himself took upon the mantle and the name, the Son of God, the Son of Man, and he would accept it. And when he came riding into Jerusalem there before the day that he would be crucified, Alex, that Sunday before that, he was coming in as the king, as a king riding upon that donkey. He had rejected that opportunity, every other opportunity, but he was declaring his messiahship. And so, Alex, yeah, you could not have said it any better. You must receive him as he is, and he is Lord.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, backing up a little bit, there are people that are in church, and they're religious, and that they might have, you know, gone through the motions. But listen, friend, not only the truth of the gospel hangs on this, but maybe your own individual personal salvation. Don't just be religious. Be born again through acknowledgement of who Jesus really is. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Now, the denial of Jesus is the litmus test. And I want to say we live in an age when there have been Hollywood celebrities, they've been political leaders, certainly apostate college professors that have shipwrecked the faith of many a student. And they would say, you know, well, all religions really teach the same thing. That's false. And, you know, we believe in Jesus, but Muslims and Christians worship the same God. That is false, my friend. That is false. And there are even preachers. Bert, there are preachers in pulpits that are perhaps religious leaders, maybe even do some good things, you know, morally or, you know, whatever, socially. But listen, if we in the church are not lifting up Christ, the risen Savior, the soon coming King, the one and only Son of God, through whom we're redeemed, if we're not preaching Jesus, we're not preaching.
Preach it, Alex. That is so true. And it says, they went out from us, these false teachers. And the issue there is no doubt Gnosticism. And Gnosticism still has its branches in what people are saying concerning, well, he wasn't the Son of God. He was a prophet. That, honestly, I don't know how to say it. That's a little bit of Gnosticism. And so it says, they started out with us, but they were never of us. They went out and started teaching another doctrine. That's called false teachers. And so he's saying to them, it is Christ and Christ alone. And so here, Alex, do you see him relating false teachers and Antichrist? I put them in the same boat, you know, because they're saying some other way besides Christ. And are there levels of that? I would say there's some that their doctrine is most severe. But let me ask you this. What's the most dangerous? Doctrine that is so unreal that you obviously know it's bad, or doctrine that gets as close to Christ as they can without coming to Christ? That's the one that Satan wants. He wants his counterfeits to be as close to the real thing as he can so he could get as many as he can. Satan has never had an original. He's always a counterfeit. Always. And I see that here. He's showing the counterfeitness of what Satan offers through the Antichrist and false teachers.
You know, lies are like parasites that have to have a host. You know, sin, darkness, lies, the deceptions of Satan, they're not original in and of themselves. They have to have a host to infect. And so very often the devil has deceived people by perverting truth. And let me just say this, and we got to move on because I'm hoping we can complete chapter 2. But Bert, I got to say this. We live in a time right now, so much is at play, and it's a hotly politicized world, and no more has the battle raged hotter than in the issue of morality. And I remember when I was a youth pastor 25 years ago, you know, there were issues of living together before marriage. And there were otherwise good Christian people, but when it came to one of their kids maybe moving in before marriage, you know, they sort of kind of got a little bit lax. And nowadays, it's homosexuality and transgenderism. And I've had Christian leaders say to me privately, they say, Alex, look, come on, Alex. I mean, you're pretty hardcore, but I know what the Bible says, but listen, I've got this nephew, and he is a good kid. We know this friend, and their children are, you know, into this or that. And, you know, you can't tell me they're not good people, Alex. Friend, let me just say this. Do we love people? Yes. Are we willing to go the extra mile and try to come alongside family and encourage people? Of course. We don't burn any bridges. But I want to say this, Bert. We can never let personal relationships trump the truth of God's word. And friend, don't blink. It might be your closest friend, your dearest relative, or your own children, but the word of God will never, never be rewritten merely to placate a lost, stubborn world.
Amen. Alex, if you're going to take Christianity and what Christ offers, the origin of us, the meaning and purpose of life, and the destiny that we have in Christ, you also have to take his morality. You have That's to right. say what he says. If you don't do that, you're not picking up on the meaning. You're not picking up on the origin of him making man male and female. You're not picking up on the destiny that it is the narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So that is it. And then when you come to verse 24, it continues. Don't lose track. I believe this ties it in. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, and also will abide in the Son and in the Father, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Now, what he's talking about, these people, verse 19, that he's talking about leaving and going out, they have become antichrists. They've come a false teachers. It was not abiding in them. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof, Alex.
Exactly.
And so here he says, abide in you. The word of God abides in you. I abide in it. Goes back to what he said in John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. But verse 25 says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Now, eternal life is not just one that takes you for his length and quantity, it's also quality. So when you hear eternal life, when does it begin? It doesn't begin at death. It begins at the moment of salvation, and that salvation that he comes in, he brings eternal life. And let me read the rest of it, Alex, through verse 27, then you take it away. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. That's talking about these who have left and they've become antichrist, false teachers. They're trying to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teachers you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, but just as was taught you, you will abide in him. Alex, amen. Don't leave the basics. Don't leave Jesus. He is the basis of life, isn't he?
Well, he really is. And you remember yesterday we pointed out that the word abide appears in the writings of John 53 times, and many times here in this book, that we keep on keeping on, we remain in Jesus, we remain in his word, and the Holy Spirit of God that gave the Bible, that converted our soul, remains in us. And so it's great, the anointing which abides in you remains, and the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And, you know, I think about discernment. You know, amidst these warnings of the coming Antichrist and false teachings and denials of Jesus, there is the Holy Spirit in us that will or is willing to teach us all things. So, folks, be discerning. Feed on the food of Scripture so that you'll know false teaching. And, you know, I got to tell you, Bert, I think a lot of times when I've been in churches, and I give God the glory, I've been in 2,200 churches to preach. And if you want me to come to your church, just go to my website, alexmcfarland.com, and I will. But very often when I hear stories of Christians caught up in error, and everything from just, you know, things that are slightly wrong to overt heresy, it's because of lack of alignment with the clear truth of Scripture. Would you agree?
I agree fully. And again, the Word and the Spirit, they bear witness together with our spirit. And that anointing that he has given, the unction that he has given of his Holy Spirit, will lead you to all truth. And you, Alex and I, we love teaching. We love helping people, discipling them. But I want to just tell you, if you've been born again, you've got the best teacher right there in you.
That's right.
He's the Amen. Holy Spirit. And don't let him guide you. Alex, we got about 2 minutes. Let me read 28 and 29.
Verse 28.
And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him as he is coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Not self-righteousness, but real righteousness, Alex.
Amen. Well, it says that we're to abide in him. He is coming. We're going to see him. And we want to have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And so in light of this, you know, and now little children, in light of all this, hey, people might fall away. You don't be one of them. And, you know, Jonathan Edwards said, you know, this day, if we knew that we would see Christ return before this day is out, would we change things, reprioritize? How would we live? And Edwards said, because we don't know when we're going to die, we don't know when he's going to return, this day could be that day. Let's live our lives accordingly.
The greatest thing that you need to know about Jesus' return is that you are ready. Again, there's Alex and I, we agree that we believe certain things about eschatology, but we've got dear friends that I work with who look at it, well, I don't know if it's going to exactly be that way. I doubt if anybody's got it down pat exactly, but there's one thing you can have down pat, and that is to know Christ as Savior and be ready for his appearing, because he is coming back. The number that you want to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give us a call.
Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. California State Senate Judiciary Committee Chairwoman Hannah Beth Jackson announced her committee was adopting a new rule banning the use of the traditional binary pronouns he, she, her, or him in hearings. She went on to say, "We're using what my grammar teacher would have had a heart attack over. We're using the phrase they. My grammar teacher's long gone, and I won't be hearing from her." After announcing it, the chairwoman violated her own rule. The irony would be funny, but it shows government won't be content until it controls what we think and say.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
Alexa, play American Family Radio.
Welcome to the AFR Alexa skill.
Alexa, play the Today's Issues podcast from August 10th.
Do you want to play Hour 1 or 2?
Hour 1.
This is Trivia Friday.
Click Just Ask Alexa at the bottom of the Alexa FAQ page at AFR.net to get started. Then use Amazon Alexa to access the programming of American Family Radio.
Joan of Arc is a national heroine of France, credited with securing victory for France in the Hundred Years' War. She claims to have had visions from saints and angels, telling her to assist the French armies. Accused of heresy, the 19-year-old was burned at the stake in 1430. The charges were based on her claims of divine revelation and her choice to wear men's clothing.
Joan of Arc lives on in history, legends, and Shakespeare. In Henry VI, Part 1, King Charles remarks that Joan fightest with the sword of Deborah and is a prophetess, comparing her with Deborah, the judge of Israel, who encouraged Barak to go to battle.
25 years later, a church commission overturned the charges and declared her innocent.
Engage with the Bible, the book of all books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. There's nothing I desire inside. There can't be found in you. You're everything that I've ever needed. Just give me Jesus.
Amen. That's what we want to do on Exploring the Word is give you Jesus, and I pray that you have received him as your Savior and Lord, that you're walking with him, that he has come into your life as you've surrendered your life to him, and he's given you freedom. That's the neat thing about it, Alex. When we surrender to him, he gives us freedom to be who he wants us to be and who he made us created to be, brother.
You know, in that segment before we got to where we are now, we were talking about not adding to the gospel. And, you know, I think about 1 Corinthians 1:23, where Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. You know, we don't preach good works, although it's good to do good works. And we don't preach social reform, although we need righteousness and change in the culture. The message that we proclaim from the housetops, the mountaintops, and to the ends of the earth is Jesus Christ who sets us free.
What's that old song? Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Give the winds a mighty voice.
That's it, brother. Some of those, I know a lot of the older hymns they've taken and done some little tweaks to it and made them, new and fresh again. And that's one of those. Take some of you that are songwriters, take that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Put a little bit of a modern tune to it, and I bet it would just go wild. He saves. Amen. Well, 888-589-8840. We do have some lines open, but let's go to Ryan in Mississippi. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
Thank you,
God
brother.
God bless you.
So I had a question about when Jesus cast the demons out of a particular man, and the demons say, you know, please let us. If you're going to cast us out, you know, cast us into this herd of swine over here. And Jesus does that. My question is, why would Jesus honor the request of demons to be cast into the swine?
Okay, Ryan, good question. Alex, I'm going to say something. It's a little bit, I won't say the word crude, but it's a little bit different. Have you ever heard of killing two birds with one stone?
Yeah.
With that one, I think Jesus did. The swine had no business being there, you know, because of all the things where they were. And so Jesus, I believe, took care of two problems with that one issue. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. And do you remember the demon said, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" It's amazing to me that the demons knew that their destination was the lake of fire. I think, and this is in Matthew chapter 8, that for one thing, Jesus was doing a miracle to validate who he was, that he had power over the demons, and that as the Son of God, he didn't bow to their request. They answered to him, and he was showing his divine authority.
Agreed. And so regardless of what their request was, the man who owned those swine, he didn't own them anymore, you know?
Never did, really.
He never did. That's right. So anyway, Ryan, hope that gives you a little bit. Is Jesus operating in that realm? And he did what he would do to demonstrate his power over even unclean spirits. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Judy. Judy, welcome.
Hi.
Good to have you today.
Well, thanks. Y'all speak my language. It's what I was calling about. I try to understand things, and the Bible words are what I understand. And, you know, whenever everybody's talking about these fears and all this stuff, you know, it says fear not all the time in the Bible. And ours is not a doctrine of fear, but of power, love, a sound mind. And so I understand those words, understand y'all's words, and I use the Bible words when I can, like drugs, the Bible word is witchcraft, and, you know, drug pushers would be like sorcerers, but, and, you know, they use these nice words. Gay would be happy in the Bible, or colorful. It would not be, you know, a nice word for, you know, immoral behavior, you know. But I don't have any Bible words for gender neutral or toxic masculinity or a lot of these cultural words. So they speak a language that I don't understand. It's like the Tower of Babel. I don't know what they're building on, but I don't understand them.
Judy.
But I do understand the Bible, and I appreciate y'all that y'all use the Bible, and y'all, I understand y'all.
Thank you, Judy. Wow, what a comment concerning trying to not have her and him and she and he. The Bible makes it plain, and it is. Let me share this with you, Judy, and Alex, you come in as well. I know what you're doing today, and I try not to use the word gay when I'm talking about homosexuals. Every once in a while, because of me being around it and hearing it so much, I do, but I try not to, because I know females who have that name, and it's a beautiful name. They follow the Lord. I know some people that's their last name, and they're godly people. And so I try to keep it that way. And we should not let political correctness dictate that language. And I say that, and I don't mean to use the conjunction, but to say, but we do need to communicate truth. And sometimes what the evil and devil tries to do is to distort truth, but the Bible always communicates the truth. So, Judy, what you're saying, a biblical knowledge and biblical language does help, even in a day when they might want you to say it a different way. Alex, go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, one of the ways that socialism has forced itself into countries like Russia back in 1917 and Venezuela more recently, one of the things they do in addition to economic upheaval and social unrest is to mess with people's minds through language. Bert, I had somebody call me about 3 hours ago, and they said, "What in the world is cisgender? CISGENDER. Because, see, if we believe Matthew 19:4 and Mark 10:6, where the Lord said, "In the beginning God made male and female," which we do believe. So men are men, women are women. Well, the left now are telling your kids, they'll say, well, see, now you're cisgender. Now, CIS is from a Latin prefix that means same. So if you're one of these narrow, conservative, you know, biased people, and you believe males are masculine and females are feminine, you're cisgender. And let me just say this, whether it's transgender, cisgender, heterosexist, any of these vacuous, insane, meaningless labels, these non-words that the Democrats and the progressives are making up to try to unravel the country. So, listen, what they're doing, they're creating disorder so they can introduce new order.
That's exactly it. Doesn't that sound like communism? Honestly, that's what it did. It did. Sounds like Nazism. And what they do, they want to claim the other route. Those of us that are believers in Christ, they want to put us on the route that we're the ones. But honestly, they're the ones that want to start a new order, and it will be control. It will not be freedom. Yeah. It will be control.
Well, you know, and transgender people, I mean, they need therapy, not surgery. And, you know, a male can have plastic surgery, but they could exhume his body in 200 years. He will still be shown to have XY chromosomes. And let me just say, and we'll get back to the calls, part of this quest to deny male and female is really the sinful blindness of a world that's at war with God the Creator.
Amen. Thank you. Judy, thank you for your listening. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Carl. Carl, welcome.
Yes, sir. I was just going to ask earlier, talking about contortions of Scripture and false teachings, Mr. Greer with the SBC recently made a comment about how, and I think he was responding to a white privilege question about how it was the duty of every Christian to allow that privilege or to present that privilege and make it available to others. And it's almost like he's trying to use Scripture to guilt Christians into thinking they're doing something wrong if they're not doing this. And I'm not sure that's scriptural. I heard Dr. Alex commented on that earlier in the week, but I was wondering if you guys would maybe elaborate on that a little bit.
Alex, go ahead, and then I've got just one thing to say about it when you're through. Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, what I said was, if anybody could have beaten themselves up or self-flagellated or apologized, it would have been the Apostle Paul. I mean, he persecuted the church, probably ordered the martyrdom of Stephen. But yet Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, he didn't brag that he wrote more than half of the New Testament. He didn't beat himself up that he had been a persecutor of the church. And I want to say this, folks, and you're talking to a Southern Baptist. You're listening to a guy that, by God's grace, from 99 to 03, I was the first ever apologetics director for the North American Mission Board. So I've got some Southern Baptist roots. But J.D. Greer is wrong to add to the gospel. And he's not the Holy Spirit of God. He can't read another person's heart. And to say that automatically people are biased and racist and you're operating from a mindset of white privilege, he doesn't know that. He can't read another person's heart. And it's dangerous when he and the progressives like that want to add to the gospel. He's a fine man, loves the Lord, I know, and he's doing a lot of great work, I'm sure. But he needs to leave the gospel as the gospel. And the gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus for the sins of the world. And maybe a little less trying to judge the hearts of other people that he knows nothing about, and a little more proclaiming the way for people to be born again.
And I would say this, Carl, when it talks about privilege, if you were knowing my background, a son of a sharecropper, pick cotton by hand, chop cotton by hand, and was my mom and my dad did not finish high school, the youngest of nine in a pretty poor situation, but I had a privilege. And that privilege was that I was in America, and that privilege was that I was close to a church that loved me and brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say this to the churches. I don't care who you're surrounded by. If you're surrounded by the black community, the Muslim community, if you're surrounded by the Buddhist community, you're surrounded by immigration, refugees that's come in, make that every effort of the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ. And in America Amen. Right now, we have the privilege of sharing the gospel. And I do believe J.D. Greer is trying to, he would put that above that. That's my opinion. I've heard him too many times sharing the gospel and what he is. And again, sometimes we get caught and we try to make a point, and that point may not be well taken. But it's the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ, the privilege. It is a privilege to be an American, Alex.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it's built on the shoulders of giants that's handed down to us. And we dare not squander this privilege that we have right now of sharing the gospel with those around us. And everybody's wanting to say, why? If America, what they're doing to the babies, what they're doing to marriage, why hasn't God destroyed them? I believe there's only one reason that God has not yet, and that is that the churches are still sending out more missionaries than any other country in the world. So the message of Jesus Christ is getting to them, and we dare not stop. If you want America to continue, yes, you stand for freedom, yes, you vote, but I want to tell you, churches better be missional in their purpose. Because if our only purpose was to love him, he'd have saved us and taken us to heaven. But he's left us here to serve and to make his word known to the ages. Alex, I preached my sermon, but it is a privilege, brother, to be an American. If you're black, if you're Hispanic, Irish, hey, I've got a lot of Irish blood in me. Most folks think I got Italian because of the way I get excited and talk with my hands. But it is, we're privileged to be able to share the gospel with people. So, Carl, you've kind of got on our bandwagon today, brother. Thank you. Alex, we hadn't gotten much time to take another call before we go out. I'm sorry I took so much time there. But
well, you know, America is the land of opportunity. And you know, we grew up poor. We didn't know we were poor. You know, when Jeff Foxworthy talks about you may be a redneck if you know how many bales of hay your car can hold. Honest, no kidding, we hauled hay in the family car, the church car, the car that we drove to church. We were poor and didn't know it. And I give God the glory, but folks, listen to this. 25 years ago, finished at Liberty, paid all my bills. Angie and I literally had $58 and the shirt on our back and a Chevy with 200,000 miles. It was a piece of junk because it was all worn out. And I honestly know what it is. I know what it is to not be able to buy a meal. And yeah, sure, you know, being Caucasian and knowing how to read and write. But the privilege is that I was born to Christian parents and born in America. Now, we've worked pretty hard. But, I do know what it is to be poor and go to bed hungry. I really do. And Bert, so rather than beat up ourselves or denigrate America, let's thank God for the resources we do have. Let's try to live right, work hard, and see people saved and our nation redeemed.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. Again, thank you for calling. Sorry we didn't get to some of the calls really wanted to get to, but Alex and I, we just felt like that needed a longer response than usual. Alex, we'll start with chapter 3 tomorrow. Ready to go in 1 John?
God bless you, everybody. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Please tell somebody about the show, but tell everybody what, Bert?
About the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for you. Again, thank you for being with us on Exploring the Word and the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.